You're enjoying the longer days, starting to get lighter, longer, and especially next week. I didn't put it in the bulletin, but this Sunday is daylight savings time, and so we'll be springing forward this Sunday, so don't forget about that. Spring is coming. I'm looking forward to it. Tonight we're going to continue in our series in 1 Corinthians. So if you want to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at how to avoid carnality. How to avoid carnality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to just read the first four verses of this chapter tonight, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. But whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we can assemble in the middle of the week and just gather again to spend some time worshiping you and fellowshipping one with another. We're thankful for your word tonight. We're thankful that your word is quick and powerful, and Lord, that your word is how you speak to us and how you instruct us in our Christian life. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would give us ears to hear your word tonight. Open our understanding to these truths, and God, help us to be a church that would please you, a church that would bring glory to you. Help us to be a spiritual church. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you for all that you've done for us, and thank you for all that you've been doing in our lives and through our lives. And we're looking forward to seeing what you're going to do in us tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this series, Living as the Lord's Church. If we're going to live as the Lord's church, we must be a spiritual people and not a carnal people. You know, we're going to be defining what that means tonight. We're going to be looking at that, but if we're going to bring glory to the Lord, we need to be a spiritual church. And we're not talking about how sometimes people use that word, oh, you're just so spiritual. And we're not using it that way. But as we look at this church here at Corinth, it was made up of saved people who were sanctified in Christ Jesus. And we need to keep that in mind. They were saved people. Yet, according to the verses we just read, they were living as carnal people. Not spiritual people, but as carnal. And we're gonna define carnal in just a little bit. Just be patient. But I just want to remind you of last week when we were looking at chapter 2, that we saw that there are two types of people in the world today. Paul talked about two different kinds of people. He talked about the natural man, and he talked about the spiritual man. And I want to just kind of briefly go through those, and beginning with the spiritual man. The spiritual man, what is a spiritual man? And when I'm saying man, I'm using that generically of a person, a spiritual person. It could be a man, woman, a child. But just for simplicity, I'm using spiritual man. And so a spiritual man is a saved man. When we look at the scripture in chapter 2, it's very clear that he that is spiritual, he's talking about a saved man. Not just is he a saved man, but he's a man who loves God. And if you look in chapter 2, for example, in verse 9, "But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him." You know, that's a description of a saved person. People that know the Lord love the Lord. And so a spiritual man is a man who loves God, but another characteristic, he walks after the Spirit. He walks after the Spirit. You know, as we looked at the passage in chapter 2 last week, and we learned that it's only by the Spirit of God we can know the things of God, the deep things of God. And so a spiritual man is a man who he's indwelt by the Spirit of God. He's received the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has revealed to him the deep things of God. He knows God. And these are things that a natural man cannot know because they're spiritually discerned. So now I want to just talk just briefly about the natural man. The natural man, this is an unsaved man. In chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Things of God are discerned by the Spirit. And the natural man, being unsaved, he does not know God. He does not have the Spirit of God indwelling him. And so he cannot know the things of God. And typically, the natural man will walk after the flesh. And so there you have the two types of people in the world today. You have a spiritual person, you have a natural person. Everybody born into the world is a natural person in their natural state, unsaved, and without the Spirit of God. A saved person is a person that's indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who knows God, who loves God. And so those are just in general the two different categories of people in the world today. And I want to just go a little bit deeper, the background on this teaching in the scripture, that in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, whenever God created man in his own image, he created man as a trinity, if you would. You know, God is a trinity. Well, he made man. Man consisted of spirit, soul, and body. And I want you to just look in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5, and this is a prayer that Paul is praying for this church. And I want you to notice what he prayed here. He said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." What does he mean by holy? It means that their whole being. And he explains it. He says, "I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there he talks about the three parts of man: is spirit, soul, and body. Now, going back to Genesis 3, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just using that as a reference, that when Adam and Eve sinned, remember what God told them would happen. He said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall die." But we know that Adam and Eve, that they lived for quite a long time after that. They bore children. And so, did God not keep his promise? Well, of course he did. We just have to look at the scriptures and see what it meant, what he means by that they would die that day. In that day, they died spiritually. And what died was their spirit. They were created a living soul, but their spirit died. And I found this little chart here. I thought it was really, really interesting. The inner circle speaks of the spirit, that one around it is the soul, and then the outward one is the body. And so if you look at that, you can see the spirit experience spiritual death. And the spirit, let me just explain that the spirit is how we commune with God. It's how we hear God, know God. It's how we worship God. It's in our soul that we exercise our mind, will, and emotions. It's in our soul that we choose whether to follow Christ or not, to choose whether to obey the Lord or not. And it's in our body that we relate to the world through our five senses. And so I hope that makes a little bit of sense. And I like how he talked about the mind, will, emotions here in the soul, that as a result of the fall, as far as the mind is concerned, man lost his knowledge of God. And we talked about that last week, how that, you know, the princes of this world, they could not know God. The natural man could not know God. Apart from the Spirit of God revealing, they could not know God. These things are spiritually discerned. As far as emotions, there's, you know, we struggle with emotions, negative emotions. Sin has affected all these areas. The spirit died. The soul is affected in these ways. And even the body is affected. I mean, we all feel pains, don't we? We all feel like it's no fun getting old. Well, I mean, our bodies are affected by sin even. I want to look at this next chart, and the next chart that we put up here is the body, soul, and spirit, and just kind of describing each one. The spirit is where we have our God awareness. It's where we interact with God through our spirit. And so when the scripture talks about a person is dead in trespasses and sins, like in Ephesians 2:1, for example, that means that a person is spiritually dead. That means that spiritually they cannot interact with God because the spirit is dead. And the soul is our self-awareness. It's our personality. It's where reasoning takes place, emotions, our mind, our will. And then the body, of course, is a world awareness. We interact with the physical world around us through our five senses. And the reason I share that with you, because I'm going to come back to this a little bit later in the message and kind of help you to see more clearly how it relates to the carnal man and the spiritual man. But I want to just say this. A natural man is dead in sin. A natural man is dead in sin, and a spiritual man is alive in Christ. So speaking of the spiritual and the natural man, that pretty much sums it up. And if you want to turn there, you can. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul wrote there, he said, "And you hath he quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." So as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he's writing to believers who had been saved, and he's describing what took place, that God made them alive. They were once dead in trespasses and sins. So when we get saved, what's neat is that the spirit in us is resurrected, so to speak. We experience a resurrection. We experience life. And all of a sudden, we can begin to fellowship and commune with God because of our spirit being made alive. You know, what I found interesting is that in our Bible reading in Romans chapter 8, the past 2 days, it's talking about walking after the flesh or walking after the spirit. It talks about be carnally minded, being spiritually minded, being in the flesh, being in the spirit, And I'm not going to go into that chapter because if I do, we'll be here for a while. So, but I just thought it was interesting that as I was reading that, I was thinking about how it related to this passage tonight. So the first point tonight we're going to look at is we're going to ask this question, what is carnality? What is carnality? So with that background of chapter 2, he talks about the natural man, the spiritual man. He comes into chapter 3, and this is what he says. I want to read it again. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now remember, these were saved people. These were people that had the Spirit of God indwelling them. They were sanctified in Christ Jesus. They were called to be saints. They were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. So these are saved people. But He says, you know what? I couldn't speak to you as unto a spiritual man. But I want you to notice, He says, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know, that little word as is important. It's like as. Carnal. So, in other words, they were acting as carnal people. But what is carnality? And I'm going to put the definition up on the board, on the slide there for carnal. This comes from Webster's 1828 English dictionary. It means pertaining to the flesh, fleshly, sensual, as opposed to spiritual. So you've got carnal and you've got spiritual. They're opposites. Given to sensual indulgence. Being in the natural state. So I want to just clarify something. That what Paul says here in verse 1. When he says, "I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ," he's not questioning their salvation. I want to make that very clear. He is not saying, "Well, you're not saved because you're not spiritual." He's not questioning that. What he's saying is they're not living as they are positionally in Christ. They're not living as spiritual people. They're living as carnal people. They're living, in other words, as lost people. Because I want you to look in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions. Now notice what he says. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? What he means here is natural men. You know, you probably heard preachers say this. You live like an unsaved person. Well, that's what he's saying, basically. He's saying, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, as saved people who's walking in the Spirit, because you're living like a lost person. You're living and walking after the flesh. You're behaving like the natural man. He didn't say they were natural, but he said, you're behaving like one. They were anything but spiritual. In this case, their body was their master rather than their spirit. Now, I showed you those charts a little bit ago. I wish I would have kept this one. I forgot to put it in, but I want you to imagine three circles side by side. And I want you to just imagine, on the right side, this is my right side, okay? It'd be your left, but right here is the spirit circle. Here's soul. Here's body. And so the Spirit of God interacts with the spirit. The Word of God and the Spirit of God interacts with our spirit. So the spirit speaks into and influences our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. Over here is the body. The body is interacting with the world. Our five senses. You know, we have an eye gate. We see things. We have ears, irrigate, we hear things, we smell, we taste, we touch. So we're interacting with the world. The body is also communicating with the soul. And so the way a spiritual man works is that the spirit is the master. Walking after the spirit of God, we're and the body is the servant. And so in our soul, we're following the spirit. We're following God. A carnal person, a Christian who is carnal, is letting the body be the master. They're listening to the body, the flesh, the eye gate and all those things. They're taking in all this, and they're acting upon that rather than on the spirit. And so when I say here that their body was their master rather than their spirit, that's what I mean. That's what it means to be a carnal person. So when we ask what is carnality, I hope that helps you to understand what it is. Now the second question is, how do you know if you are carnal? How do you know if you're carnal? And I think all of us, we need to be honest and let God's word speak into us tonight on this point. Are we carnal or are we spiritual? How do you know? Well, I'll give you a sub-point under this. If you're dull in hearing and understanding the Word of God. Because going back to chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." So the characteristics of a carnal person, according to Paul, is they can't take the meat of the Word. The meat of the Word would be the deep things of God. It'd be going beyond the ABCs. Now, I want you to think about something. This church was blessed. God blessed them. Remember chapter 1? He blessed them with knowledge, all knowledge and utterance. He blessed them with His Spirit. He blessed them with great preachers. They had Paul to start with. Then they had Apollos. And Apollos was very eloquent in the Scriptures. When you read about Apollos in the book of Acts, he was a very eloquent preacher. He was a good preacher. You had Cephas, which is Peter. Because you remember they were saying, "Well, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm of Cephas." And they had great preachers. They had men of God that could bring the goods from the Word of God. They could preach and expound and explain Scripture, apply Scripture. But this church still had babes, and they were still like babes in Christ. They were carnal. They were not growing. And I can tell you right now, it wasn't the preacher's fault. Knowing Paul, knowing Apollos and Peter, they were great men of God. They were men of God that walked with God. We read Paul and Peter's writings in the New Testament. But it was their own fault. They were neglecting the things of the Spirit. They were letting the body master them rather than their spirit. And I want to just say it's sad that still today in churches that we have so many kindergarten Christians. All they know is the ABCs of Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, but that's about it. Christians that sit under sound teaching and preaching for years, And they're still babes in Christ. They're still dull in their understanding of Scripture. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 5. We covered this back last year, this passage in Hebrews, when we went through the book of Hebrews as a church. But in Hebrews 5, I want you to look in verse 11. And it speaks on the same subject that we're talking about. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are, listen to this, dull of hearing. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. First principles would be like the ABCs. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, speaking of a mature believer, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You might hold your place there. We're going to come back to this passage in just a little bit. But I just want you to see that the characteristics of a carnal, a Christian who should be spiritual, who has the Spirit of God, but who is carnal, acting as a carnal person. One of the characteristics we see in the Scripture is that they're dull in hearing and understanding the Word of God. They're like a baby. They just can't understand, take it in. And it's because that they're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Going back to last week, we can't understand this book, the things of God, without the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that teaches. It's the Spirit of God that reveals these things to us. But if we're ignoring the Holy Spirit, you're not gonna get it. And sadly, it's sad, and I've been guilty myself. We've ignored the Spirit. And I read something today. I wish I'd wrote it down, because I can't remember exactly what it said. But some preacher was sharing something that on social media it's not that we can't hear the Holy Spirit. It's that we don't listen to Him. We don't listen to the Spirit. It's kind of like a kid that he can hear his mom telling him to come at supper time, but he's not listening. He's busy doing what he wants to do. Let's look at another characteristic. How do you know if you're carnal? Not only is dull in hearing and understanding the Word, but you're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Going back to chapter 3, verse 3, are you not for, he said, for yet, let me go back, I keep messing it up, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You see how he's taking this truth and connecting it back to the problem of divisions that they had in the church? When we went through that in chapter 1, I was telling you that as we go through, we're going to see that a lot of truths that he's going to connect back to that problem. These believers, they were manifesting the works of the flesh. They were walking after the flesh. It says, there's among you envy and strife and divisions. I want you to go to Galatians 5, and this passage in Galatians, he talks about the works of the flesh and this fruit of the Spirit. And it's very interesting how those three things he mentions in 1 Corinthians 3 are found here in the works of the flesh. In verse 19, Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Some of those things are seen later in Corinthians. The fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, I'm going to stop there, but some of these words are not common use, like emulations. Emulations, I looked it up, and it speaks of jealousy. And variance, it speaks of debates, fighting, strife. And seditions, it speaks literally divisions. I mean, that's the definition of sedition, is the divisions. Heresies is a sect or a party, a faction. When they were setting up factions in the church, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. That was heresies. That they were setting up these sects in the church. Isn't that interesting? They're right here. It's their works of the flesh. It's evident that a carnal person is carnal by these things being manifested in his life. And this, sadly, in churches today, you can see this in churches, that you'll find that this same kind of carnality is still present in churches today in 2023. Instead of Christians loving one another, like the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love, right? Instead of loving one another, there's hatred, the work of the flesh. He mentions hatred in verse 20. Instead of joy, there's discontent in one another. Instead of peace, there's striving with one another. Instead of long-suffering, there's impatience with one another. Instead of gentleness, there's meanness. Instead of goodness, there's evil speaking and gossip. Instead of faith in one another, there's distrust of one another. Instead of meekness, there's pride and selfishness. So if you look at the fruit of the Spirit and you look at the works of the flesh, that's how you know if you're carnal or not. That's how you know if you're walking in the Spirit or not. If you have any of these things manifest in your life, if you have bitterness, if you're not walking in love, preferring one another, loving one another, a good chance you're walking in the flesh. You're carnal. If you're not long-suffering, if you're not peaceful, if you're not gentle, pretty good chance you're walking in the flesh and not the Spirit. If you're not filled with meekness, you're probably walking in the flesh. So going back to 1 Corinthians 3, we can see these things right here. Paul tells us what carnality looks like. How to know if we're carnal or not. It's when we're like babies in Christ, when we can't understand the Word. It's when we are manifesting the works of the flesh instead of the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know if we're carnal or spiritual. Now let's look at how do you avoid carnality? This is what we title the message. This is the main point that we're coming to We had to lay the foundation to find what is carnality. We had to ask, what does it look like? How do we know if we're carnal before we can come to this point of how do you avoid carnality? Well, the first thing is develop godly habits. You know, going back to chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, when you look at verses 9 through 13, and I'm not going to read those again, but when you look in that section of Scripture, it's the clear truth is that God reveals His truth to us through His Spirit, and that He teaches us using spiritual words. We talked about that. Using the Word of God, He teaches us. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He opens it up to us. He instructs us. He teaches us. And through that, we grow. And so some of the godly habits that I want to suggest to avoid carnality under this point would be daily working in the Word. And I worded it that way because of what we're learning in Connect. And we're learning about how to work in the Word, how to study the Word. We talked about Sunday. Brother Justin talked about the spiritual warfare. He started the class with Ephesians 6 and how that Christians are not equipped for spiritual warfare today because we're not working in the Word. And what we mean here is spending time with these five things, and these are things that have been taught in our discipleship groups, and I think we've been taught this in Connect. Everybody put your hand up like this. Your little pinky, can you wiggle your pinky? That's here. So you got to hear the Word of God. That's important. That you're here tonight to hear the Word of God. The second one is read. You know, if you're in the Bible plan, you're reading the Word of God. That's important. And then the next one is study. And that's a little harder. We need to study the Word of God. Take time in the Word of God. And then memorize. Memorize the Word. Study and memorize is something that a lot of Christians don't do, but we need to do. And the thumb would be meditate. And the reason why we put that in that order, memorize, meditate, because, you know, these two are the most important right here. Meditate and memorize. Those are the ones that we neglect the most. We were breaking down application of Joshua and Connect Sunday, chapter 1 through 9, and one of the main verses in there, verse 8, he told Joshua to meditate day and night in God's Word. I mean, it's all through the Scripture. And so if we don't develop these godly habits, we are going to be carnal Christians. I mean, it's just plain as that. Because when we look in 1 Corinthians 2, the Spirit, He reveals, the Spirit teaches, the Spirit makes known spiritual things with spiritual. But are we applying ourselves to His ministry? If we're not doing this right here, we're not applying ourselves to our ministry. We're not availing ourselves of His ministry. We are neglecting the Spirit. Remember those three circles I told you about. The Spirit of God interacts. God interacts with our spirits. Did you read that in Romans 8 today? The Spirit beareth witness with our what? Spirit. Not with our soul. Not with our body. With our spirit. That's how God speaks to us, through our spirit. But if we don't avail ourselves of these things, then what's going to happen is that, because let me just say this, every day you're getting stimulation from the world. every single day. I bet you 90% of the people here tonight, I'm just taking a wild guess, but I'm just pretty certain, 90% probably spent some time on social media today. If you didn't spend time on social media, maybe you've watched TV today. You've got something that you watched or you listened to out there. And so, you know, the devil is very clever. He uses these means to come and to try to influence our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, try to get us to follow our bodily desires, our fleshly desires. And so what I'm saying is, if we don't have the discipline of doing this, we're not going to be spiritual. I want you to go back to the Hebrews. I told you to hold your place, Hebrews 5:11. And there's some words I want to just break down just real quick that's in that passage. The first one is unskillful in verse 13. It says, "For everyone that useth milk," he's talking about a carnal person, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness." Now, the word unskillful, I want to define it for you. What it means is this: inexperienced, without experience. So I'm supporting my point with this scripture, with the word of God. I'm not just making this stuff up. This is what the scripture teaches, that the carnal person, they're unskillful in what? The word of righteousness. Meaning they're not experienced. And I want to tell you, I'm pretty certain that's... I'm speaking in a general broad brush of Christians, not just this church. Majority of Christians do not do this right here, daily work in the Word. Majority of Christians don't do that. Pretty much majority of Christians are carnal. They're unskillful, inexperienced. And then that word use, and the next verse, verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use..." This little word use means habit or practice. Habit or practice. So when I say develop godly habits, that's where I got that point from, right here from this scripture. When I was looking at these words, and I looked at the word use, by reason of habit, by reason of practice. Have their senses. Now, the word senses is the faculty of the mind for perceiving, understanding, or judging. So senses is the faculty of the mind for perceiving, understanding, judging. Remember back in 1 Corinthians where it said at the end of chapter 2 that he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. It's talking about that perception of discernment. He discerns all things. A person who is in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and a spiritual person, they can discern all things. That's what it means, judgeth all things. It doesn't mean he's judgmental. That's not what it means. It's talking about a discerning judgment. And the senses here is our mind, the faculty of the mind for perceiving or discerning. And then it says exercised. You know what the Greek word is? Gymnazo. Gym, where we get gymnasium. Gymnasium actually comes from that Greek word. What do you do at a gymnasium? Exercise. You work out. And so, the definition I found here is to exercise vigorously in any way, either the body or the mind. So what's the point here? The point goes back to what we're talking about. To develop these godly habits, to spend time daily working in the Word, to do these five things, so you can have your senses exercised. What did he say? To discern both good and evil. So you follow me? Now let's look at another habit, would be daily praying through the Word. And I'm just going to cover this in quickly. So what you hear, you take what you hear, what you read, study, memorize, meditate upon, and pray through it. You know, this I started this about 4 years ago, and it really changed my prayer life to pray through the Word. You know, before that, my prayer life was a lot of repetition. There was a lot of the same thing. There was a lot of requests, and there was a lot of saying the same words. And I could pray for everybody and be done in 15 minutes easy. But when I started this principle, usually I run out of time to pray because time passes. Because you spend so much time in these scriptures and you've meditated them, you've thought about them, and you start praying through these truths. And I mean, just this happened this morning. I mean, I was discouraged about something, and you know, I was just kind of not in a great mood when I first got up this morning. My wife's smiling. And so I came to the office. I just started praying through the scriptures that I studied that morning, prayed, meditated in, and I started just praying through them. As I started praying through them and applying them to that situation, it's like God just changed my whole spirit. He gave me hope. He gave me encouragement. So praying through the Word is a good discipline to practice. And I'm going to have to move on to, so how do you avoid carnality? Develop godly habits. The next thing would be intentional in following after the Spirit. Be intentional. You know those three circles, the Spirit, soul, and body. I want you to think with me. Every day we face choices. Every day we make decisions. Every single day. Are we going to listen to and follow our flesh? Or are we going to listen to and follow the Spirit? That's a choice we all get every day. Every day we get that choice. And if you don't develop godly habits like we talked about in the last point, the chances are you're going to choose the flesh rather than the Spirit. I know that from experience. You probably heard it in simpler terms that whatever you feed the flesh the most, then that's probably going to be the master, the dominant of your soul. If you feed your spirit the most, it's probably going to master your soul and keep your body in subjection. Because we can't stop this bodily stimulation. We can't stop it. I mean, yeah, we can turn off the TV. We can turn off social media. We can do all that. But still, there's things around us that are going to come through these eyes. There's things we're going to hear. There are things we're going to smell. There are all kinds of things that are going to influence our soul. And so that's why it's so important that we develop godly habits so we can be strong in the Lord. So we can stand. Having done all. Have you done all? You know, Justin talked about that Sunday morning. Having done all, meaning you've spent time in the Word. You've spent time in prayer. And you put on the spiritual armor, so to speak, because you spent time with God. Your spirit spent time listening to the Spirit. So you've done all so you can stand when that battle comes through the body. You know, I put this verse up here, Romans 6:16. We read it just this past week as well. And I love this, the principle of this verse. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know, this is a powerful principle. So what I'm saying is that if I yield myself to the flesh, to my body, I'm going to be the servant of my body. If I yield myself to the Spirit, I'm going to be a servant of my spirit. Here in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to close with this passage in chapter 9. And Paul talks about this very thing. And he likens it to an athletic contest, a race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." Temperate meaning self-control in all things. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." He said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." In other words, without aim, but he said, "So fight I, not as one that just beat at the air." But notice what he said in verse 27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means what I would preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, when he says, "by keep under my body," what he's saying here is that he keeps his body under subjection, keeps his body as a servant. And I hope those three circles that I just would help you understand that: spirit, soul, body. And you notice in the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, when we read it, you may not have noticed it, but that's the order that he put it in: spirit, soul, body. And it should be in that order. The spirit, soul. Because a natural man, it's in the opposite order. A carnal man, it's in the opposite order. It's body, soul, spirit. Because you know, the devil, for a natural lost man, their spirit's dead. They have nothing from God. Their spirit's dead. And so, what are they serving? Sin. They're serving their bodily desires. But we've been saved from that. For Romans 6, we're no longer servants of sin, we're servants of God. So he said, yield your members of your body to God. And so Paul here, he using like an athlete, you know, even an athlete would put his body in subjection. He will do it for the sake of training. And you know, there's so many treats you could take from an athlete. You know, if I'm training for a race, I'm going to be very disciplined about what I eat, about how many hours I sleep at night. I'm going to be disciplined about how many workouts I do, what kind of workouts. I'm going to be very careful about all those things. I'm going to be temperate in all things. I'm going to be keeping my body in subjection. My body may want to eat a chili dog, but I say, no, we're not eating a chili dog, because that's not going to help me health-wise. So that's just an example. And so in the spiritual realm, we've got to put our body in subjection. Keep our body as a servant. But the only way that we're going to be intentional about following after the Spirit is if we do develop these godly disciplines in our life. The only way we can live as the Lord's church in a way that honors and glorifies Christ is walk in the Spirit and manifest His fruit in our life. I hope you can see the importance of this message. I mean, carnality destroys churches. It destroys the witness of a church, the testimony. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys a lot of things. It's destructive. You sow to the flesh, you reap what? Destruction. So these are some truths that we get from the scripture, how to avoid carnality, how to recognize it in our lives. When we see it in our lives, we need how to correct it is to practice these, get back to the disciplines, get back to godly habits, get back to being intentional about following the Spirit and not your flesh. Father, tonight we come to you and we are so thankful, God, that your word is relevant to our lives. It speaks to where we are. Or this is a truth that is needed today in churches of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can live as the Lord's church, so we can be a spiritual church, a church that would magnify Jesus, a church that would manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in our marriages, our homes. God, I pray that you take your word, and if surgery needs to be done, you do that surgery in our lives, Lord, that we would be able to correct course, and if we're not taking time to with godly habits, being intentional about walking after the Spirit. God, help us. Lord, help us to change. Help us to see the destruction that can come in our lives and our families when we're carnal. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We thank you that we can walk with you and please you because of the Holy Spirit's help. Lord, I really love the reading today of Romans 8, how the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, maketh intercession for us. So many things the Spirit does for us to enable us to overcome carnality, to overcome trials and tribulations, to overcome our enemies. Thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your precious word. God, help us to apply these things. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.